Lord, now would you please send the Spirit to open our minds to understand your word in Philippians. Help us, Lord, to be disciples, walking with you by faith, sharing this amazing good news with others, all to the glory of your name. Amen. Today we start a series on Paul's letter to the Philippian church, and this is a short letter but incredibly rich, as Scripture is. Paul wrote it from prison, which you might think might have sapped his spiritual energy and enthusiasm. We can't imagine what that would be like. But instead, we find him here in full apostolic form with a strong tone of joy and confidence all the way through the letter. Our passage today is the first 11 verses of chapter 1. And I just want to focus on two words, really. So if you can remember two words to take away today, and then go back to the passage and have another look at it. These words set the tone for the letter, and Paul uses them strongly in the first few verses. So let's see why Paul is feeling so joyful and so confident. How does his joy and confidence translate to you as you follow Christ, or maybe as you think about following Christ in 2018? In the middle of life, in the middle of trials and temptations, how can you be joyful and how can you be confident? Well, first of all, Paul's joy. Joy in being in partnership. Now, when you first hear the word partnership, what image comes to mind? I'm guessing maybe probably like a business partnership, or maybe you use the modern understanding of marriage. Sometimes people refer to their spouse as their partner. It's the word that implies a very close relationship. The way Paul uses the word in verse 5, it means really an intimate fellowship. So a fellowship which is very close, personal, and intimate. This is something more than NAFTA. Something more than NAFTA. That's more of a business deal. We see how that's going. But that's kind of in the world of legal contracts or business deals, maybe with a few personal relationships mixed in there. But this partnership Paul talks about is different. Partnership might be positive or negative depending on your experience. Now, I have a friend who went on a cruise once with his wife, and he described it this way. It was a forced partnership with 2,500 other people. He really wanted to find some peace and quiet with his wife, and he said, I spent the cruise trying to get away from 2,498 other people. That's not a fun partnership. That's not what Paul's talking about as well. Now, many people struggle with the idea of the church as a partnership. For many people, joy is not the word that comes to mind when they think about being involved in a church, because maybe they've been treated badly in the past, they've been disappointed by something that's happened, or maybe they just don't want to invest the kind of relational energy in what it means to be part of a church, because being in relationship with other people is sometimes messy. After reading the letter from the bishop this morning, it's clear that our fellowship is not always easy. It's not always happy. There are times when we get hurt, we get mad, we get disappointed with decisions that are made. But notice here that as Paul prays with joy because of the partnership, he doesn't pray and give thanks just because of the partnership. He sees something here, something deep, something lasting in the partnership that goes beyond human strength. As he says in verse number 5 in the passage, the partnership is in the gospel. In the gospel. He means that the partnership began on the first day the Philippians came to new birth in Christ. The reason the partnership has lasted isn't because of Paul's strength or the strength and character of the people in the Philippian church. Now, they were good people. They were faithful people, like you are. It was a healthy church, but at the end of the day, they were just people. There had to be something here. There had to be some special God-given glue that was going to hold them together. And this glue is called the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. The partnership here was an intimate relationship, first of all, with Jesus. That's where it begins. That's where the partnership begins. God's partnership with you, calling you into a relationship with Him. When you respond to Jesus in faith, God binds you to Himself in that intimate way of fellowship. Then the relationship, the partnership, gets extended out to include other followers of Jesus Christ, other disciples. So Paul felt joy in the middle of prison because he knew the partnership would last. It wouldn't last because of his own strength or the strength of the people in the church. It would last because it was a partnership rooted and based in Christ. And he knew that that church in Philippi was based in the culture. He knew the battles that come from the culture. He knew that the people themselves faced temptations and trials in their own lives that could pull the partnership apart. Paul said, "You'll survive as long as you stay faithful to the Lord and then work hard to stay faithful to each other." As Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, the gates of hell will not overcome the church. And the church is this partnership of the body of Christ. Why? Well, because the power of hell has been defeated by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's been beaten. God has brought us together. The other day, I was having a good conversation with Dan Hagel. Dan is a faithful member of this church, has been for years, and he had this insight into the passage that I wanted to share with you, and I asked his permission to share this today. Dan said, our relationships with each other, and he was talking about our relationship with each other is stronger than our relationships with our biological brothers. And we each have a brother. Now, that might sound a bit harsh, but he's absolutely right. The relationship between believers in a church is stronger than biological ties precisely because this relationship is rooted in Christ. It is something transformative, something eternal. This bond can't be broken. It's a covenant that God makes with us. So you share a profound bond with the fellow members of your church because you're in Christ. Your fellow travelers here beside you, they're your new family. Remember what Jesus said as he looked around at his followers and as he saw his own family coming to see him, wanting to speak to him? Matthew says, pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. So Paul is joyful in prison because his joy is not a surface joy. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It doesn't depend on how well you're physically feeling today or how good your day started. It doesn't depend on anything like this. This is a deep and lasting joy. It's unstoppable because it's based on God's faithfulness. It's not based on your strength or your faithfulness. It's based on the faithfulness of God in Christ, which is the unbreakable partnership in the gospel. So along with this, along with the joy, Paul uses another word. The word is confidence. Confident. Again, picture Paul in prison, expressing joy and now confidence. The good question to ask is, why the confidence? What is the confidence based in? As you know, we see all kinds of confidence in our daily lives, don't we? If you're of a certain age, if you're retired, I hope you have confidence in your finances and things like that. You're kind of thinking, I worked hard, I saved, I planned, and now I'm confident that I'm going to have a pretty rosy future. Or if you're not retired and you're working away, you're making plans, and you're thinking, I'm reasonably confident that I have a pretty rosy future ahead of me. But listen to the confidence that Paul gives here in verse number 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He says, confident of this. The this he refers to is God's grace and power in your life. That's what he means. This is spiritual confidence that gave Paul the ability to prosper in prison of all places. This is not a positive attitude. This is not the power of positive thinking. Fake it till you make it. Put a smile on your face and you'll feel better. Stay positive. You'll get through the day in fine form. This is something else. This is a strong confidence, a settled confidence, a deep confidence that doesn't depend on how your life is going. It has the power to transcend all of that. This is not a confidence that Paul created in himself or tried to create in this Philippian church. This is the confidence you receive. You receive this confidence. This confidence comes from the Holy Spirit living in you, We don't have this kind of confidence naturally. This is given to us by the Lord God. Paul's confidence begins with what God has done for us already. He saved us and given us a new life. That's where our confidence begins, knowing we're forgiven. We're in this new relationship with Christ. The past is wiped clean. We have a new present, and we have a new future as well. That is a great reason to be confident. But there's more. There's a lot more here. Paul says that. We'll come to that in just a second. But sometimes Christians get stuck at that point, and they enjoy that moment, and they say, great, I love to know Christ. I love to be in this relationship with the living God, and I'm enjoying it. But then what they do is they keep it there, and they stay there. That's like watching a newborn baby delivered in the hospital and enjoying the moment and savoring that moment, but never moving beyond the moment, leaving the baby on the delivery table and never bringing the baby home and caring for the baby and watching the baby grow. Paul here is talking about lifetime spiritual growth as a disciple, as a follower. If Paul had stopped at this point, then it would have ultimately led to spiritual immaturity in the Philippian church. We see this sometimes when we enjoy our moment with the Lord so much that we forget about the waiting world out there, which doesn't have this confidence. We can easily hoard this present for ourselves and turn away and stay behind our comfortable walls and never end up sharing our faith. Sometimes when we do this, we simply do it because we don't want to cross that pain line of living your faith openly in a secular culture. You do have to cross a pain line with your friends and family members if you're ever going to talk about your faith. Paul's confidence comes first of all from knowing that God has started something in the Philippians. He started something in you, but it doesn't stop there. In the second half of verse 6, Paul ties his confidence to the belief that the good work God started in you is not finished, not by a long shot. This news from Paul is meant to keep you advancing in your life as a disciple, to keep walking by faith, to keep being humble and teachable and open as a learner, to willingly submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ, to take His direction, to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to receive His teaching from Scripture, and to carry on your growth to the day of completion. This is all very encouraging, and I hope you're encouraged. There is a challenge in here as well, because the challenge is that your spiritual growth is never complete. It says that your spiritual gifts are meant to be used until you actually can't physically use them anymore. That means at the end of your life. It says that you have an important part to play as long as you draw breath. It says that disciples never retire. We never retire. When Paul says the good work will be carried on to completion, he means that your good works by faith in Christ will carry on until either you die or the Lord Jesus returns, whichever comes first. So our goal as disciples is to keep on going and to keep on growing. As long as you're alive, you have something to do. The job never really ends. The job just changes, gets better as you grow and mature in your faith. Well, I hope you're encouraged by this word in Philippians. I hope you're filled with new joy and confidence as you hear that your growth isn't finished. God isn't finished with you yet. You may feel that your contribution is over. You may feel, well, I can't do the things I used to do. I'm limited with what I can do. But let me assure you from Philippians 1 that it's not. God decides when it's over. Since you're still here this morning, my assumption is that your job isn't finished. God has work for you to do. Isn't that encouraging? It doesn't depend on health. It depends on your willingness to be faithful, your willingness to receive the good news of joy and partnership and say, this is what the Lord Jesus has done for me. What am I going to do for Him as long as I draw breath? This is good news. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, would you please drive this word deep into our hearts and minds? so that we're reminded about the joy and confidence that doesn't depend on our circumstances or the events of our day. It depends, Lord, on your faithfulness. So, Lord, help us to be increasingly faithful. Help us to be increasingly mature as we follow you. Amen.